Well, let's read in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the song, we have such a high priest who is set in the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle from which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man has somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses admonished God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he saith, he shall make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mountain. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Also in Acts chapter 2. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers, the purity upon every soul, and many wonders, and signs were done by the apostles. And all that way were together, and all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, to all, as every man has need. The Lord will bless you with his word. Here in Hebrews chapter 8, we have a word of encouragement. And the writer says, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum, or this is the point. We have such a high priest who is set in the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven. This word we have was the word of the gift that gave satisfaction and gave security and confidence to the saints at that time. Bearing in mind that the writer is writing to Hebrew Christians who have been accustomed to the tabernacle, or to the temple, and all its ornaments and all the like of that, the sacrifices, the priest's garments, everything in connection with the temple. But now, with them, much of that had passed. But the writer says, we have such a high priest. We have one in the presence of God. We have one who ministers in the sanctuary in the heavens. We have one who is better than all that went before. We see in chapter 1, he's better than angels. The Hebrew Christians, they had great confidence in angels, in the God ministry. But here is one that is better, that is greater. Here is one that is better than Aaron, as he has a continuous he's an eternal high priest forever. He is greater than Moses, who was given the law. We see him superior in so many ways to many different things that we have in this epistle. And so we see this word, it has been sweet to my own soul. We have such a high priest. In contrast to the priest that lived at that time, that could not continue because of death, we have one that lives continually. We have one in the presence of God, that is able to preserve us and keep us and undertake for us. And we have one who, as it says here, is now set down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. There's a man in the glory. There's one who passed through the sea. There's one who was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. When he by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty in high. So we have such a high priest, one who's ever to meet our need day by day and undertake for us. He says here in verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not men. They were occupied with the temple that was built there at that time. But here the writer tells us that here is one who is a high priest, who was a priest of a heavenly sanctuary, where he is the great high priest, where he ministers on our behalf before a living God, on our behalf day by day. We have, he says, such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not men. Those men, those priests at that time, they had their rituals to go through. But here was one who passed through the sea, who when he finished the work of Calvary, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty and power. He has been accepted at God's right hand, and he lives there on our behalf. For we read verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man has somewhat also to offer. So that when he offered up himself, he offered himself without spot to God, a sacrifice that was well pleasing in the eyes of the Lord, a sacrifice that met God's holy claims. And we see that when he had offered up himself as a whole burnt offering, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in high. With the result, that God's claims were fully met. God was fully satisfied. And we see that the sinners, all his needs have been fully met. And we see also that the sinner has access into the presence of God. What a wonderful thing to think, brothers and sisters, that we are able to draw near into the presence of God, all because of the love of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man has come with also the water, which he offered when he offered up himself. For it says, for on earth he should not be a priest, because there were those Aaronic priests. But there were these Aaronic priests, they continued for a while, and one would die, another would die, they could not continue forever because of death. But here is one who continues eternally. And he said, who served as an example for every word of earth, he should not be a priest, seeing then that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the temple and shadow of every thing, as Moses admonished God when he was about to make the tabernacle, foresee that he shall make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the month. God was very careful in regard to the construction of the tabernacle. One has suggested the idea that there was like a model that Moses could have seen. God showed him a pattern to everything in regard to that building, and he was to make everything according to the plan that he was shown in the mountain. And there was that caretaker, for it's a figure of the heavenly sanctuary in the presence of God. And God had said who served as the example of himself of heavenly things, as Moses admonished God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for she said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount, which Moses was done, but did. But he was the one who lives at God's right hand in the true tabernacle, which the Lord picked, and not man. Then he says in verse 6, because we have the high priest, now we have obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established offer upon better quality. Because of the offering which he has made, it's a more excellent ministry. The ministry which our Lord is doing on our behalf in the day in which we live. Not only so, he is a mediator of a better covenant. The old covenant was a covenant of obedience. If they obeyed, God was blessed. If they disobeyed, God's hand would fall upon them. But God here promises, says, a better, an excellent ministry with a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. The faithfulness of our God to preserve us and keep us day by day and undertake for us. When one realizes that many of these gift people were discouraged and cast down, what a privilege it would be to consider this such the high priest. And this is what we have. We have put the high priest in the presence of God to preserve us and keep us. But all that was seen there had what you might say an example in that which was on the earth, in the tabernacle, in the Old Testament, which was built, which was made according to the pattern which God had showed Moses, and was done to be done exactly as the Lord had commanded. With that, I was thinking of this word, which we have in Acts chapter 2, especially in regards to the ministry this morning, the Bible readings this morning. Thank God for that which we heard in regards to our Sunday gathering. We're living in days where many would seek to change things. But as we've been hearing, God has a pattern. God has a pattern. And it's for us to follow that pattern which is laid down in the Word of God. And first of all, here we have, in going back here to Acts chapter 2, which you might say was the apostolic teaching, apostolic doctrine. They that gladly received his word, were baptized. First thing we have here is the reception of the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel, the grace of God, Peter proclaimed the gospel in power of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful day that was when Peter stood up and in the power of the Holy Spirit he proclaimed the message which God gave to him. He gave him that message, he proclaimed it, and as it went forth, many other tongues heard the message of the gospel, were richly saved by the grace of God, had their sins forgiven. And we see that those that heard the word, they gladly received the word, they gladly received it. And thank God for each one who gladly receives the word of God, to rejoice in the knowledge of sin forgiven, to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then what followed was that those that received the word were baptized. It received the word were baptized. Sometimes here in the homeland, there are those that are a little slow in getting baptized. I had a letter not too long ago from a sister, a young sister. He said, you know what I'm saying? Saved some time ago. But she said, I'm not baptized. And she said, I don't know when I'll get baptized. Well, it might have been an exercise to give up, to obey the Lord in baptism. Some years ago, another woman professionally saved, the meetings we were having, and I was standing at the front of the hall, and she came up. I was rather surprised to see her come up to the front of the hall. But I turned my back on her, and she bumped me with her elbow. And I turned around and she says, she's called me by name, she's, when are you going to baptize me? Well, I said, after you get saved, say God saved. I said, when you get saved, say God saved tonight. Say tonight. How do you want to be baptized? Well, it's nice to see an exercise for young people that have received the Savior to have a desire to be baptized, to obey the Lord in baptism, to drink of the waters of baptism, confessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing all that he has done for one
and he suffered and then died in one room's head, and we have the privilege to identify ourselves with him in obeying the Lord in baptism. And I believe that is something that needs to be mentioned in the conference, or something that is, something that is taught in the Word of God. One of the first things we see in the lives of those who have been rich and sick. In fact, I believe that it's a sign of divine life when there's an exercise to obey the Lord in baptism, being identified with the Lord in baptism. And this, I believe, we have the idea of this as a pattern. A pattern to follow. It's a special that this morning. We were dealing with the long hair and the head covering. That's a pattern. It's a pattern that has been given to the Word in the Word of God. A pattern that Paul received from the Lord. A pattern that was for the day in which we live. Even though some would say that was for that time. No, brothers and sisters, the Word of God is old but new. And it's fresh, and it's for us in the day in which we live. And so we have here those that God has received the word from the time. They obey the Lord in baptism. Then it says they are added to the assembly, they are added to those that are there. They are added 3,000 souls. That's the next step, to be added to the assembly. Salvation, baptism, to be added to the assembly. Of course, all here know that this is my home assembly, the old Cedar Cottage, and time when I was baptized, my sister Mary, I was sure not too well, but she was saved before I was. She asked for baptism for life. Of course, she had an interview with her brother, and they asked her what bishop meant. Before Mary didn't know what bishop meant, she thought she was going to lose her baptism because she didn't know what bishop meant. Somebody told her what it meant. She said, this speaks of faith. So I wrote that down. I didn't know what else she was going to ask me. And I asked for baptism. So, in fear and trembling, it came to the time when I asked the brethren and I would like to be the Lord in baptism. Well, they said, John, we'll go to your house and visit you there. Well, I thought that's on my own home ground. That won't be so difficult. So I came out there. On the afternoon, I was saved. And all were quite satisfied that night. That was very simple. Thank God for that. And shortly afterwards, I was baptized. And I thought, well, if I was able to be baptized so easily, I suppose when it comes to asking for fellowship in the assembly, I wonder what they're asking. So she can read my Bible and study. She prayed one Lord's morning, going up the old Cedar Cottage Hall. As they looked up the stairs, the door opened, and one of our year overseeing brother, Mr. Glasham, now of the Lord, he said, John, he said, would you let me announce your name for baptism? I said, for sure. Flying all that this Lord's day when I was receiving the assembly fellowship. What a privilege. To be identified with the people of God, gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I have on this village, it's a joy to be identified with the Lord's people, to be gathered to his name, outside, away from all. It is of this poor, the sects and systems of this poor world. And brethren, I can speak a little, even of what we're seeing about it. I remember the time we saw in our recent city. And brother was with me, some more than our age, we thought, well, we'd like to take these new Christians to see an assembly, to see how an assembly carries on, because they all came with a background of Roman Catholicism. So we took about 20 of them to an assembly not too far away on the Lord's Day morning. And they sat in the back. And they watched. They saw a loaf of bread and they saw a cup of wine. And they were watching a loaf of bread. They couldn't figure out how anybody could swallow a loaf of bread. They were very used to these little sequels, as they call them. Finally, the time came when the brother went along with And he gave thanks for the bread, and he went up to the table, he took the loaf, parted it, and passed it around, and everybody partook of it. Well, their eyes are just wide, wide open. But the next day surprised them more than anything, because they were only just used to the priest partaking of the cup. Well, here the cup too was passed around, and everybody could partake. Why did they come in afterwards? What does this mean? Why a loaf of bread? Why do you break it? Why a cup of wine? Why does it pass around amongst them all? I thought the Lord would have explained to them. They said, why? We don't belong to the world anymore. We want to be with you. We want to be with you. We're saved. Our brothers and sisters, they should give anyone exercise to seek the place the Lord has pleased to place us in. Outside the second city of this world, outside the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, they that gladly receive His word, ask true salvation when one gladly receives the word of God. They were baptized, and then they were added to the assembly. Then they continued. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued day by day. They continued week by week. They continued year by year. Wonderful thing to see brethren that have been known for years, and there they are, faithfully going on for God, maintaining a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful at all meetings. When it comes to a gospel meeting, they're there. When it's a prayer meeting, they're there. When it's a ministry meeting, they're there. They're there at every meeting. They take a responsibility, continuing on in the ways which we in Christ maintaining a testimony for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true, not only amongst larger assemblies, but there are many a small assembly that people will cheer and encourage you, they, from time to time, seeking to maintain an assembly testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that which the apostles had taught in the beginning. But then we see how that God in His wisdom gave further instructions to Paul. What Paul taught was not something that he got from Peter, or something that he got from somebody else. He got it directly from God. And that, to my mind, makes it all more solemn for us in the day in which we live, to seek to maintain those principles and those traditions that were passed on down from those earliest days according to the Word of God, for the benefit of the assemblies, that they may be preserved and kept as witnesses and testimonies for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially we think of the women with our sisters, with our hats in Venezuela, and use veils. And of course, I'm a little bit favorable towards Spanish veils, at least. I may not be altogether in harmony with some of the veils that we see in this country, but the large Spanish veils that some of the sisters are able to get, they're expensive, I'll admit, but they are, you see some ladies going along the street with these lit veils on, you know where they're going. You can see them from a distance. You know they're going to a gospel hall. Many a time, a person comes along, doesn't know where the gospel hall is. Or we see some sisters going along with their veils on, he knows exactly where they're heading to. And so, in that in itself, is a testimony. I suppose, if I was speaking of Venezuela, I would be able to say that many are recently saved by the grace of God because of the way our sisters support themselves and by their godly walk and fear, others are one for the Savior. So they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. But we see how they maintain fellowship one with another. But with a sound church, it maintained God's order. It maintained the deity of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that has been denied in many, many parts today. The deity of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to maintain that. The deity of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a spiritual fellowship, a spiritual assembly, and we see how they maintained this fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Breaking of bread, there they gathered every Lord's Day. We not, we would gather as we would gather today, in this day, from the first day of the week, to gather to remember the Lord in accordance to His Word. And the result was, and in prayers, and a great need of prayer. One feels the need of prayer day by day. We need to know what it is to lay hold upon God in prayer, for God is a God who answers prayer and meets the need of His beloved people. How often God comes in and even answers our prayer even before we ask Him. And then we appear to upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things come. One will see in a conference of fellowship which we able to maintain amongst ourselves the fellowship that we have seen amongst the people of God. Even in a place where there are not so many, one will see the gatherings of the people of God that gather around the precious word and maintain this fellowship, which is an encouragement to many of the Lord's dear people. So I'll repeat how they sold their possessions and goods, and part of them to all, as every man had need. We were getting more given this afternoon, but here we see these people. When there was a large number there, some with very little of this world's goods, but there are those at hand and are willing to give of that which they, have. And we see they sold their possessions and their goods and part of them up to all, as every man had need. There was consideration one to another. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple at that time, breaking bread from house to house, and eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So here we see fellowship together in the home life, maintaining this fellowship. I'm sure that as they gather that way, they would have much to talk about the goodness of God, God's salvation, and the way the Lord has preserved in heaven. So as we see in Hebrews, we have such a high priest. We have such a one in God's right hand. Better than the angels. Better than Aaron. Better than the priestly service of Israel. For we read how that they could not continue. And we see how there are many things. And we have a great high priest. We have one who can be touched with the things of our infirmities. And so, says the writer here, he sums up much of what he has in writing, and he says, we have, brethren and sisters, it should rejoice our hearts to know that we have such a great high priest. Where is he? He's in the presence of God. He's on our behalf. He's able to meet our needs day by day. He's coming again to take us home, and we shall see him, and be with him, and be with him. I believe it is something that should encourage us and help us to cleave to the Lord and the word of His grace, because we have one who is able to meet our need and to sustain us day by day, till traveling days be done to the sons of wilderness, passing God. May we walk in line with Him, taken up with Him, and living to bring glory to His name until that day when we shall see Him face to face.